This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in for good measure. Yes, folks, unbelievably, it truly tis the season. We are in December. Oh, 2023, we barely knew ya. Bloody hell, what's going on? And just in case you weren't aware it was December, well, fear not, because the streamers are letting you know that the holidays are coming by dropping a humongous shed load of Christmas and family content for you to binge to your heart's content. Woohoo! Like, so much. And the good news is that most of it is actually quite good. It's pretty decent. And yes, there's a few sketchy ones in there, but sure, there's always a few sketchy ones. So yes, let's get the Christmas officially launched and look at what you and your loved ones will be watching in the coming weeks. So whether it's your partner, your kids, your pets, your friends, or hell, just yourself, fear not, there is a season treat for everyone. So, shall we begin?
It's magic! It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas!
High stakes as neighbors compete for best decorated house on the block.
I think this is the house to beat!
Wow. What's your Christmas wish?
I just want to win this thing. I'll take it.
Signature, please. Ignore all the fine print. It's like you're signing your life away. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Oh, it will be.
First up, in Candy Cane Lane on Prime Video, Eddie Murphy plays a man who is determined to win the neighbourhood's annual Christmas house decorating contests. Ah yes, we all have one of them on our street. Sweet Lord. Turn off the lights! Turn off the lights, I'm blinded! There's a plane going to land. He makes a pact with a mischievous elf to help him win, and the elf then casts a spell that brings the 12 days of Christmas to life. Which, as you would expect, brings unexpected chaos to the town. Tracy Ellis Ross and Gillian Bell also star in this family Christmas movie that will absolutely entertain all ages in the gaff this weekend, and will be especially entertaining if you yourselves are setting up to decorate the house for the holiday season. So that's a cracker of a start. That is Candy Cane Lane on Prime Video. It's Eddie Murphy. I love a bit of Eddie Murphy.
I wish you could be me. I would love for you to be me for one day.
I would love for you to know what it's like to be me.
I would kill to eat a dozen donuts and just have it burn right off.
Would you take a picture of my family, please?
Everybody say Merry Christmas.
What are you doing in my bed?
You're in my bed.
Why am I in your bed, Mom?
What is happening?
That's me.
Cece?
Mom?
Wyatt?
Dad?
Family Switch on Netflix is a brand new body swap comedy that stars Jennifer Garner and Ed Helms when a chance encounter with an astrological reader causes the Walker family to wake up to a full body switch. Can they unite to land a promotion, get that college interview, get that record deal, and pass the soccer tryout? Who knows, but sure, half the crack is finding out. While not exactly a Christmas movie, it's definitely a quality family movie. Think 13 going on 30 meets Freaky Friday, with a bit of Big thrown in. All the hits. Yes, it's another perfect family film for the holiday season. What is not to love? And did I mention it's got Jennifer Garner? Who doesn't love Jennifer Garner? So that is Family Switch, which is now on Netflix.
Everybody up! It's Christmas, people!
You're not going to believe this.
Santa stiffs me.
I always get a gift from him.
Why not this year?
The naughty list.
Santa took Christmas from us. Let's take it back. We're gonna rob the North Pole.
It's the biggest job we've ever pulled.
It's gonna take the best team I've ever assembled. On my mark, go. If we all work together, it'll be the best Christmas we never had. Who's with me?
In The Naughty Nine on Disney Plus, Andy finds out he's on Santa's naughty list. So he does what any self-preserving naughty kid would do, and he pulls together a group of naughty list kids to orchestrate a heist on the North Pole to get the presents they think they deserve. Oh, pure Disney Channel movie hokum, which the smallies will most definitely love. Starring Winslow Fegley from Lyle Isle Crocodile and 8-Bit Christmas as Andy, this is the perfect babysitter to avail of at any point over the weeks ahead. Hey, who doesn't love a Christmas Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 9 or whatever the hell it is? The plot might be better. And you know me, I love a heist, so bring it on. That is The Naughty Nine, which is now on Disney Plus.
Bernie.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Very badly. I'd missed my daughter's birthday.
I'm gonna take Eve to my mom's.
My wife left me.
And then
I got fired.
I want you out today.
That's when I happened upon this old antique jewelry box.
And then I robbed it.
Oh my God!
Who are you?
I am a genie.
Yeah.
Your wish is my command.
Okay.
I wish I had my very own camel.
Genie on Sky Movies and Now TV is a new fairy tale comedy from Richard Curtis about a workaholic man who enlists the aid of a magical genie to help him win his family back before Christmas. It stars Melissa McCarthy, Papa Isadeau, Mark Maron and Alan Cumming, and is a remake of Curtis's 1991 BBC television film Bernard and the Genie. Yeah, there you go. Despite this one looking like a bit of a trash fire, it is a new Richard Curtis movie, and well, there are a lot worse and generic Christmas movies out there. So, feck it, why not bail in? That's Genie, which is now on Sky Movies and Now TV. And if that's not your thing, well, have we got a little treat for you, because for those who enjoyed Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell's thoroughly fantastic Christmas musical last year, Spirited, on Apple TV, well, joy to the world, because this year we all get to warble along, ho-ho, as Apple TV have just released the sing-along version of Spirited onto their streamer. Ah, Jesus. A wonderful spin on the Christmas Carol storyline with some absolute banging tunes that you can now officially butcher to your heart's content. That is Spirited, the sing-along version, which is now on Apple TV+. For the smallies who love their animated Christmas fare, buckle up, because we got a few treats for you.
'Twas the day before Christmas, before the bad guys turned good, when all through the city, they cased each and every neighborhood.
The bad guys!
Better get a move on it. Ah!
We just stole Santa!
Christmas is cancelled.
The Bad Guys, A Very Bad Holiday on Netflix is a 23-minute prequel to the Bad Guy movie, which itself was based on the extremely popular children's book series. When Christmas is cancelled due to a major accident caused by, yes, the bad guys, involving a giant Santa Claus parade balloon, the bad guys have to abandon their citywide holiday heists and rekindle the holiday spirit by giving instead of taking. Oh! So sweet, so sweet. An absolute no-brainer piece of entertainment for the smallies. The Bad Guys, A Very Bad Holiday is now on Netflix. Apple TV have gone absolutely mad this week with their Christmas episodes from some of their popular kids series. Frog and Toad, Christmas Eve, sees Frog and Toad looking forward to spending the winter holiday together, but a last-minute errand into the town sidetracks Frog, causing Toad to wonder if his best friend will make it home in time. Oh no! Based on the classic book series by Arnold Lobel, this show has proper old school vibes and qualities. That's Frog and Toad, Christmas Eve on Apple TV+. Also on Apple TV, we have Shape Island, The Winter Blues, for fans of Mac Barnett and John Classen's wonderful stop-motion animated series, Shape Island. This one is a festive tale where the chilly season leaves Square feeling sad. So, yes, Circle and Triangle tried to cheer him up by creating a new holiday, Yeti Night. Oh, gorgeous, gorgeous to look at, and always a sweet watch. That's Shape Island, The Winter Blues, now on Apple TV+. And finally from Apple, they're really going for it in their festive shorts. We've had Halloween, we've had Thanksgiving. Well, now it's time for the Peanuts gang to return in The Snoopy Show, Happiness is Holiday Traditions. In this one, Snoopy searches for the perfect tree topper, Woodstock gets trapped in a window display, and Snoopy and Woodstock visit Spike for Christmas. Ah, yes, wonderful, wonderful stuff. So that's The Snoopy Show, Happiness is a Holiday Tradition, which is now on Apple TV+. And if you're feeling maybe a bit more semi-religious or religious adjacent, The Shepherd on Disney Plus sees a young pilot flying home, finding himself in peril when his radio and electric power cut out, leaving him stranded and running on limited fuel. Just when it appears his luck is about to run out, a mysterious good Samaritan guides him to safety. Ah, sure, God. God bless us all. John Travolta, Steve McIntosh and Millie Kent star in this 40-minute war tale. That's The Shepherd, which is now on Disney+. Right, there you go. If that hasn't got you in the mood for Christmas, well, do you know what? Go fecking watch The Grinch, Mother of God. Maybe it's just too early for you to embrace that madness, or maybe you're just in denial. In which case, fear not, people. Fear not, because this week, two of my favourite TV shows return for their third seasons. Two shows which are next level awesome.
All right, make this quick. I've got underlings to bully. I'm busy.
No one in Slough is busy.
Come on, get on with it.
A team from MI5 has gone rogue.
And Standish has been taken.
What's the plan? I need a team of good agents. But I just have the slow horses. And the traitors we're looking for. Ex-military.
There will be a reckoning. Go! Go!
You can wipe your slate clean.
Okay.
There's another game being played that will probably leave me worse off. I just can't see what this one is yet.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Gary Oldman is back as Jackson Lamb in Apple TV's Slow Horses Season 3. This one follows, as you know, a dysfunctional team of MI5 agents and their absolutely obnoxious boss, played brilliantly by Mr. Oldman. And they yet again must navigate the espionage world's smoke and mirrors set up to defend their country from sinister forces. As I mentioned earlier, this is box office next level prestige TV for me, and I cannot recommend it enough. The first two episodes have now dropped, and then it's weekly from here on. If you haven't caught it yet, oh my god, best holiday binge ever. So that's the stupendous, splendiferous, I am in no way overselling it here, Slow Horses Season 3, which is now on Apple TV+. Spy drama at its greatest. Still overselling.
The Red Sox have returned!
You're so grounded.
Where's Bear?
I'm old enough to feel old, but young enough to die.
The path to healing is often found in opportunities to help others.
What does that mean?
You're on trash duty.
Maybe next time you'll think twice about running away and not telling anybody.
Why am I here? I didn't even go to California.
It's called probably cause.
Ah! Knowledge bomb! Oh, God!
Reservation Dogs returns for its third and final season on Disney+. This tragic comedy series follows the exploits of four indigenous teenagers in rural Oklahoma who steal, rob, and save in order to get to the exotic, mysterious, and faraway land of California. The show highlights Native American talent both in front of and behind the camera and is a heartwarming, funny, heartbreaking, and ultimately a show of absolute beauty. I adore this so much. If you're a fan of Somebody Somewhere, that kind of emotional drama with a lot of comedy. Created by Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi, again, this teen drama fits into the category of, if you've missed it, holy crap, what a journey you have ahead of you. Love it. These kids have become such a wonderful part of my TV viewing life and will be sorely missed. But as they say, sometimes you just gotta know when to go out at the top of your game, and Reservation Dogs is doing just that on Disney Plus with its final season. Beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous stuff. Love it. Also out this week, a new movie on Netflix called Fry Bread, Face and Me. This is about two adolescent Navajo cousins from different worlds who bond during a summer herding sheep on their grandmother's ranch in Arizona, while learning more about their family's past and themselves. Again, exec produced by Taika Waititi, this has been getting some pretty stellar reviews and lands on Netflix with plenty of festival buzz. So that's Fry Bread, Face and Me, which is now on Netflix. For something a bit more surreal, and surreal is the only way to describe this, Faraway Downs is now streaming on Disney Plus, and this is quite an intriguing experiment. Some of you may remember Baz Luhrmann's 2008 box office, yes, we're going to call it a flop, Australia, which starred Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman. Okay, well, this time it's back as an expanded, retitled version of the film. This is now a 6-episode series and runs a hell of a lot longer than its original 165-minute length. This time, Baz is using original footage that ended up on the cutting room floor and reckons that, you know what? The original cut is why it flopped. This is how it should have been seen all along. Centering on a dispute over a cattle ranch and unfolding against real events in Northern Australia in the late 1930s and 40s, including Australia's entry into World War II, Baz is basically going after the Yellowstone market, as far as I can see. So that's the Bizarre Case of Australia, the extended series edition, now known as Faraway Downs on Disney+. It loses a point from me for sounding a bit too much like Far and Away and Home and Away. God help us all if this actually works, because then so many long movies are going to get a hell of a lot longer.
We just saved Vegas. And if the world knew what we did here today, they'd want us to party like the rock stars we are.
Are you feeling it?
Oh, I'm feeling it.
You feeling it?
Bomb you deactivated was a fake. We still have the 5-kiloton nuclear device. You have until 9 a.m. If you do not comply, the city will be obliterated.
See, this is why I don't drink.
Oh, good for you, Paul. We should all be so fucking boring.
Coming in under the You Had Me At Hello for that trailer and the high concept, Obliterated on Netflix is an insane 8-episode action comedy from the creators of Cobra Kai about a special forces team that attempts to prevent a deadly attack on Las Vegas. Having successfully completed their mission and stopped a nuclear weapon detonating in Las Vegas, they go, as you do, on the absolute rip. Drink, drugs, dancing, debauchery, you name it. Only then to discover, mid-partying, that the bomb they stopped was actually a fake, and now they only have a few hours to stop the real nuclear bomb from blowing the hell out of the place. And yes, they're all completely hammered. What is one to do? As Netflix described it, a 24 and Hangover mashup. Holy crap. As the team battles external threats and their own impaired judgment. Oh my god, shoot it into my veins. I'm weirdly quite excited by this one and for the carnage to unravel. That is Obliterated, which is now on Netflix.
I want to find a character that's difficult to understand. Why are they like this? Were they born or were they made? Like, you're taller, you look taller on television, but we're basically the same size. Thank you for doing this. Well, I want you to tell the story right, don't I?
They're sweet, aren't they?
We've been together for almost 24 years now. It's hard to trust them. You're gonna represent things as they were.
What would make a 36-year-old woman have an affair with a 7th grader?
May, December lands on Netflix with a whole lot of hype rowing in behind it. People are buzzed. 20 years after their notorious tabloid romance, a married couple buckle under the pressure when a Hollywood actress meets them to do research for a film about their pasts. This one finds director Todd Haynes reuniting with Julianne Moore for a twisty drama that finds her playing Grace, now a mother and wife, leading a quiet life 2 decades after she was the subject of a highly publicised tabloid scandal and imprisoned for her relationship with a 13-year-old boy. The arrival of an actress, played here by Natalie Portman, hired to play Gracie in an upcoming film, shakes up Gracie's return to normalcy. Guaranteed to be a squirmy, uncomfortable watch, this has some pretty decent Oscar buzz going for it and is definitely for those who love their indie art house movies to challenge them all the while. With some stellar performances from the leads, May-December is now on Netflix.
Paolo was an absolute fraudster. And that's why we have to stop him.
Paolo Macchiarini treated people as human lab rats.
She was coughing up pieces of her own flesh.
The first liver transplant, the first kidney transplant, the first heart transplant, did they go all well?
No.
I think that this is the future.
The next patients, everything will be better.
The question is, was he torturing people to death?
It's the biggest con in medical history.
This guy might be an imposter, but he might also be a genius.
For those in need of a true crime fix this week, Bad Surgeon Love Under the Knife on Netflix is, yes, as you'd imagine, just for you. Dr. Paolo Mascherini is world famous for his revolutionary stem cell-infused windpipe transplants. There's just one problem. His patients keep dying. This documentary series is an investigation into one of the biggest frauds in modern medical history as it attempts to expose a surgeon famous for groundbreaking achievements in the field of regenerative medicine from those people know him best. What the price was for those groundbreaking achievements? This is what we're here to find out. Bad Surgeon, Love Under the Knife is now on Netflix. The Doll Factory on Paramount Plus is a Victorian set series based on the novel by Elizabeth McNeil. Iris paints dolls for a living alongside her twin sister, but then she meets Silas and then Louise. And then she is offered an opportunity to escape and start a new life. To do so, she must abandon her sister. Part thriller, part fairy tale, part meh, possibly ho-hum, but who knows. The Doll Factory is now on Paramount Plus. American Horror Stories returns to Disney Plus for a third season. This is an American Horror Story spin-off and is an anthology series of standalone episodes delving into horror myths, legends, and lore. Kind of like Black Mirror, it was pure horror. And as far as I can tell, the episode Daphne about AI is an absolute cracker that you may want to watch or avoid. Anyways, even if you're not into American Horror Story but do like horror in general, it's defo worth the nose. And for those Real Housewives fans out there, Lisa Rinna stars in one of the episodes, which is called Tapeworm. That immediately sounds like an episode you shouldn't watch. American Horror Stories Season 3 is now on Disney Plus. And from the sublime to the quite ridiculous, Virgin River Season 5 Part 2, The Holiday Specials, is now on Netflix. Ah, yes. A certain corner of the streaming world rejoices. This absolute smash hit series, which I have never watched and will never, ever do so, is huge for Netflix, and this Christmas special promises to dig deeper into the mystery of Mel's father. I have no idea what that means, but I know some people are keen to know. So, you go ahead, folks. You have your day. You chill that wine and prep your salty snacks. Because Virgin River Season 5 Part 2, The Holiday Specials, are now on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, Grammy nominations were announced. The most honored artist this year with 11 nominations is Mr. Jon Batiste, right there.
I feel like we're living a life of contrasts.
Why? What do you mean?
It's just a lot.
I'm always in awe of Zuleika, how she deals with hardship.
My first day of chemo, his 11 Grammy nominations were announced.
I won the biggest prize in music and come home. She's back in the hospital.
American Symphony on Netflix is a deeply intimate documentary where musician John Batiste attempts to compose a symphony as his wife, writer Sulika Jawad, undergoes cancer treatment. Guaranteed to have you in absolute floods, this is a fascinating look at both Batiste's amazing career and the story of the love between him and his wife. Huge, huge festival buzz on this one. Some are saying shoe in for best documentary nom. Some are saying a shoe in for best Oscar win. So definitely one worth bailing in. But I feared it may be a bit of a blood fest, so be prepared. So that is American Symphony, which is now on Netflix. And finally this week, just, you know, we'll just sign off with a bit of crazy, crazy Korean. First up, we have Sweet Home Season 2, which is the post-apocalyptic Korean drama where humans turned into savage monsters and the world was plunged into terror as a handful of survivors fought for their lives. Anyone who's been waiting, well, it's been 3 years and we're back, where they have promised to up the ante with regards monsters, violence, action and death. Could you have any more? Well, seemingly yes. That is Sweet Home Season 2 now on Netflix. Love Like a K-Drama, yeah, definitely fits under the more bizarre reality dating shows of recent times. This one has pairs of actors searching for romantic chemistry from both Korea and Japan. So they're trying to land lead roles in K-dramas, but also trying to hook up. What? Dreams, romance, friendship intertwine in this dating series, all leading to love, heartbreak, and hopefully that big break. What is going on? Who knows? Mad as a bag of cats. Love Like a K-Drama is there for you on Netflix. And finally, it's not out this week because it was out last week, but I do hope you're watching Squid Game The Challenge, because holy crap, if you are not on the edge of your seat every episode by the end, feck me. The first 9 episodes are now up and sweet lord, with one to go, next Wednesday can't come quick enough. Feck me. It's absolutely addictive. Addictive stuff. Right. That's your streaming. Box office stuff. What did they say? Something for everyone. Now, as for cinemas. Oh, well, there's quite a bit out there too.
Oh, look what the cat dragged in.
Good afternoon, Eileen.
How's your day, Dad?
It was a day, just another day.
My day was a doozy. It's one of those days you never forget.
Listen up. This young lady is our new prison psychologist. She may be easy on the eyes, but I assure you, she is very smart.
I'm Rebecca.
I know.
Eileen is a new movie starring Anne Hathaway, Thomasin McKenzie and Shea Whigham. It's set in 1964 Massachusetts, where a young secretary becomes enchanted by Rebecca, the glamorous new counsellor at the prison where she works. Their budding friendship soon takes a turn, shall we say, when Rebecca reveals a dark secret. This intense, low-key, slow-paced thriller is based on Otessa Mosveig's 2015 novel. I thoroughly enjoyed this with its deliberate pacing. Its first 60 minutes were, you know, gave me quite strong Carol vibes. Hathaway and Whigham are particularly impressive and are simply at a different level of acting throughout. It's a fascinating watch, if somewhat grim. And if I'm being very vague about the story, it's because don't watch the trailer. Don't know anything about this movie. Just go in, because it does take a turn, but it's a turn you don't really expect. I don't want to say anymore. I just thought it was a fascinating, wonderful movie that should be seen. Is it a cinema movie or one for home viewing? Well, that's your personal call. The main thing for me to tell you is at some point you should definitely catch it. Whoa! While it may be too low-key for some folks, I thought it was a wonderfully intense journey. Beautifully shot movie. Eileen is now in cinemas. There's a triple bill of musical themed movies released this week. First up, we have a man who, before Tay Tay and friends started taking over cinemas with their live concerts, this dude's been filling out weekends for the last few years with his own concerts. Andre Rieu's White Christmas lands in cinemas for two nights only, this Saturday and Sunday, December 2nd and 3rd, set in a magnificently decorated Christmas palace, of course, over the top as usual, complete with snow, two ice rinks, gorgeous winter scenes, 150 beautiful chandeliers and over 50 Venetian candelabras. Sure, what more would you want? The Dutch violinist and conductor will take folks backstage while also giving them what they came for, all the Christmas classics, both hymns, carols, you name it, they're all there. These type of screenings have been extremely popular for years and, you know, you're going to the cinema to see a movie and you see this kind of strange mix of people in the corner go, where are they all off to? And lo and behold, it's like Sunday night at the proms, but more fun on the big screen. So that's Andre Rieu's White Christmas at cinemas on Saturday and Sunday, December 2nd and 3rd. But if Owl Andre isn't your buzz, I think we know someone else who might be.
Oh, it's a video.
Well, Rumi, can I teach you a trick? You have to turn it to the side. Yeah, there we go. That's how you do it.
Hey.
Hi, Mommy. So, do you like the show?
I don't know what you're waiting for. Cuff it.
Today ain't the day.
Okay.
Because I'm in the mood to be deep in love.
How do we fix this? Because this is a very big problem.
I got this drink in my cup.
I'm out of breath.
We just need to simplify.
Renaissance, a film by Beyoncé, is the second big concert movie of the year. Written, directed and produced by Beyoncé Knowles Carter. Unlike Swift's Eras Tour concert film, this one is more of a documentary proper. So yes, rather than just footage from the concert, it also features a lot of behind-the-scenes setups and insights into what makes Beyoncé tick. Are concert movies the future? Who knows? They've been ticking away for a while, but this year there has definitely been a change in the times. But it also helps as a trend if the world's two biggest female stars bail in and help the genre expand. So that is Renaissance, a film by Beyoncé, which is now in cinemas. I Dream in Photos is another documentary that explores the life and work of Pulitzer Prize-winning photojournalist Cathal MacNaughton, who quit the best job in the world at the peak of his career, aged 40. Now living an almost monastic life, this was an intriguing insight into photojournalism and the life and the dangers such folks lead. It's quite a ponderous movie, definitely like the lead subject, and while he may not blow your mind by being all drama and flair, there was something about Cathal that still had me engaged throughout. Maybe not a cinema trip, unless this is your jam, but when it does pop up on streaming or TV, it's definitely worth giving a nose. So that's I Dream in Photos, which is now at select cinemas.
Oh, she's so beautiful. Oh, tell me about her.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's a lovely girl.
What age are we living in? One can be as free as one likes without guilt or confession. Please, I know exactly who you are.
He can be the first great American conductor.
There's a price for being in my brother's orbit, you know that.
Maestro is a new biopic getting a limited release that centers on the relationship between American composer Leonard Bernstein and his wife Felicia Montalegre. It was directed by Bradley Cooper from a screenplay he wrote with Josh Singer. Cooper himself stars as Bernstein alongside Kerry Mulligan, Matt Bomer, Maya Hawke and Sarah Silverman. This is one of those rare Netflix releases that is getting 3 weeks worth of a cinema release before it drops for the Christmas season on December 20th. So now's your chance. We will discuss it again when it appears on streaming after I've seen it in the cinema. But for now, you've 3 weeks of the big screen. That is Maestro, now at selected cinemas. And finally this week in cinemas, we have Fallen Leaves, which is a new film from Mubi and which is set in modern day Helsinki, where two lonely souls in search of love meet by chance in a karaoke bar. Sure, isn't that just density right there? However, their path to happiness is beset by obstacles, from lost phone numbers to mistaken addresses, alcoholism, and a charming stray dog. This dark romantic comedy is an honest observation of the roller coaster vibes that sometimes go into making a relationship work, and must be applauded for avoiding schmaltz at every turn. A hint of schmaltz and it runs in the opposite direction. Receiving rave reviews wherever it has appeared, Fallen Leaves is also on limited release this week in cinemas. And there you go. There's not a lot of time to catch all this stuff. What are we going to do? Anyway, that's your cinema. We've done streaming. Let's take a quick look at three things we noticed in pop culture this week. Well, there's only one place to start this week. And first up, yes, for anyone who regularly listens to this podcast, you'll know that Stephen King's The Long Walk. The Long Walk. It's my favourite story of his, which I regularly revisit. And it's part of the Batman books. And that also features The Running Man. And I have long, as you will know, been confused by how Hollywood has avoided this dystopian piece of horror pulp genius that is The Last Man Standing, or Last Teen Walking, as it's the story of the 0.01% who have 100 teens walk endlessly at a pace of 4 miles per hour, and if you stop 3 times, you are executed until only one remains, with the reward being untold wealth for your fairly poor family. The whole setup of this book is also, it's a joint popular reality TV show. This is basically Squid Games and The Hunger Games written in 1979. What's going on? Well, speaking of The Hunger Games, after falling again into development hell and my heart breaking for one more time, we may yet again have a saviour. Because Lionsgate, who make The Hunger Games movies, have stepped in, and it was revealed in the Hollywood trades that none other than Francis Lawrence, who recently did The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, is down to direct. With that movie proving that there is life yet in the old Hunger Games, and the success of Squid Games and Squid Games the Challenge, the Batshit Challenge, looks like Lionsgate are backing a dystopian future for all of us, and I am so here for that. But, and there's always a but with this movie and book, goddammit, before I get too excited, Francis Lawrence is currently working on Constantine 2 and the script with Keanu Reeves, so I'll hold my breath a little bit longer and maybe go read The Long Walk for the bajillionth time while I wait. And who knows, maybe you'll go and read The Long Walk. Get yourself a copy of the Batman books. Do it. Books are not just for Christmas. Anyway, our second story this week is Sebastian Stan, according to Deadline, is set to play Donald Trump in the late 70s and 80s in a movie about his power ambitions and the building of his empire by any shady and sketchy means possible. Jeremy Strong is also on board as his controversial attorney, Roy Cohn. The movie has numerous names at the moment, The Apprentice and The Student being the most likely. Probably The Student, because The Apprentice may have copyright issues. Put this under the category of dark comedy or even dystopian nightmares, depending on how next year's elections go. Whoa, whoa. And finally, in sequel news, it looks like we'll be getting a sequel to the excellent horror movie The Black Phone, based on Joe Hill's book, and which starred Ethan Hawke, who will be returning as the child killer, the Grabber. Oh, what a freaky man that was. A large number of the previous cast are also returning, including those most excellent child stars, Mason Thames and Madeleine McGraw. No word yet on whether Scott Derrickson will return as a director, but it's down for a summer 2025 release, so plenty of time for him to answer that call. Yes, I went there. Anyway, there you go. I'm going to shoot off now because that was a bumper episode. And with that, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Oh, well, hello there, post-credit traveler. Are you sitting comfortably? Welcome yet again. It's a place where anything goes, truths will be told, and yes, meandering, rambling tales are a given. And some would say prophetic tales, futuristic seeing Nostradamus style things, because only one week after we babbled and warned the world of a future without DVDs and physical entertainment products to buy, a world where Best Buy announced they were dropping physical formats for movies from 2024, well, in stepped Christopher Nolan and Oppenheimer with its digital release and said, hold my beer. Because only a week into sales all across the US, major retailers like Best Buy and Amazon have reported being sold out of the top-end Oppenheimer discs, those sneaky 4K editions, leading to a frenzy, I tell you, in aftermarket sales, with copies of the Steelcase Special Edition fetching up to $200 a copy already. What? It's only out a week. Oh my God. Calm down, people. Universal stated that we are happy so many consumers, bloody right you are embracing Oppenheimer in 4K Ultra HD and understand that maybe some retailers may have current stock issues. The studio's home entertainment division said Universal is working to replenish those retailers quickly so fans can watch the film at home, get us more money, in the best picture quality possible. So there you go. Physical sales are back, baby. Or are they? In fairness, a Nolan release is almost like its own record store day, vinyl day, whatever you want to call it, by itself. And who's to say that Pete Davidson didn't go out and buy up all those copies? You just never know. That guy's got a big trunk or boot, and maybe he just drove around buying them all. Anyway, it's good to know people are listening to this pod and that we caused a stampede to the local entertainment stores to buy those physical copies before they were removed from the shelves. There are currently no issues in Ireland and the UK, but not to cause a stampede or anything, maybe you should buy your copy now, just in case. This podcast is not sponsored by Universal this week, I would like to point out. No, Nick did not buy me a pint. Also, in the week that Spotify Wrapped and Apple Recall, is that what it's called? Released people's musical tastes for the year, I'm not going to lie, it was a beautiful thing. I was overwhelmed to receive messages and images from a plethora of folk of Here and Back Again being in their top five, top three podcasts. It's touching. It's very touching. What are you doing with your lives, people? I don't know which is more fascinating. The fact that it made it onto your list and that you take time out in your day to listen to this quality nonsense. Or was it to see those other random and most bizarre mix of wonderful podcasts that you are also listening to? Some wee crackers out there. I'm in a special group. True Crime, Unexplained UFOs pods, obviously footy pods. Yeah, I'm just so proud that I beat an Arsenal podcast. Actually, one of them, I came ahead of an Arsenal and an Ian Wright podcast, so my work here is done. So, to sign off, this week's Earworm is inspired by the vibe of everything being in the right place for this pod. And again, thanks for listening, folks. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.